Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I am excited to introduce our guest today, Chandler Walker. So welcome to the show, Chandler.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Excited to talk to everyone about how to rewire their brain code to finally see the success they know they want and probably deserve.
Lovely, lovely. So Chandler, like before we start our conversation, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Chandler's journey from biochemistry graduate to successful entrepreneur is definitely fascinating. So after scaling like both brick and mortar and online health businesses to seven figures, he revolutionized the sales training with his compassion conversations approach. So like with over 3,000 sales consultations, his system focuses on empathy and deep listening, reshaping the traditional sales methods. So beyond the entrepreneurship, his crypto investment success and commitment to holistic wellness make him a multifaceted guest with the valuable insights to share. So what to wait for? Let's hear from him. Welcome to the show again, Chandler.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been quite the journey, so I'm excited to talk about it and share everything that happened along the way and give people some information they can use to win.
Lovely. That's really great. So to start with, if you can share more about your journey from biochemistry graduate to the successful entrepreneur.
Yeah, so I went to college for biochemistry and biology, and I was on a med school pathway. But as I was on that pathway, something that I realized and recognized along the way is in the US especially, it was about giving people medication and pills. So it would be learning to read a big book and then go in the back and then tell the person this is the pill you should take. If you tell a person to make a lifestyle change, they didn't want to do it. So it was just, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And it kind of disenfranchised me from wanting to be in that system. And that's really what pushed me to open up my first brick and mortar business. And that brick and mortar was centered around six pillars of wellness. So there's mental health, social health, sleep, nutrition, fitness, habits, and eventually we added wealth to the equation as well.
Got it. So what actually motivated you from brick and mortar wellness facility to an online health practice? So what exactly?
Yeah, good question. So when the pandemic started really breaking out, or before the pandemic happened, I had started looking at taking the brick and mortar and moving it to an online environment, because I felt like we were doing well in the brick and mortar in the local environment, but I wanted to establish and move this to a global idea. And so I started building out an app and building out the technology and building out the coaching program and the courses and all that stuff in order to be able to scale what we're doing online. And so before the pandemic hit, I had already started building that out, already started delivering it. Then once the just maybe a year before the pandemic or so, we got an offer to sell the brick and mortar. So that was perfect for us. We sold the brick and mortar, went all in on the online. Then the pandemic hit. Everybody got crushed except us. So it was kind of a happy accident that all that came into play.
And that's really, really great. Yeah. So how did your frustration with the traditional sales tactics inspire you to create the compassion conversations approach?
Yeah, good question. So as I was building out my brick and mortar, we had a higher ticket service. So in order for people to come work with us in the brick and mortar, it was about between $1,000 and about $5,000. And so to be able to do that, I had to learn how to sell. And I hired some coaches and I worked with a lot of people, but overall, the philosophy was you have to push. You have to push people for the sale. You have to stick them with the knife and twist it. If they cry, they buy. All this stuff that I just wasn't comfortable with and all this stuff that I just didn't want to do. It felt like I was manipulating people to join my programs and it wasn't about manipulation. So what I started doing was I looked back at my college, and in college I studied biology and biochemistry. And part of that, I studied cognitive psychology, and I had a mentor who was a doctor in clinical psychology as well. So I started taking the ideas of clinical psychology and cognitive behavior therapy and implementing that into a system for sales that I started calling compassion conversations, which helped me learn to sell without manipulation, aggressive tactics, or feeling salesy along the way. And it really aligned with where I was headed and where I wanted to go. And I was able to push that onto my sales team, and they did well with it. And then ultimately we started getting people who asked us how we're able to sell, how we're able to grow the program. And that's how the program was essentially born.
Wow, that's really great. So, I mean, if you can also explain like the three pillars of your psychotherapeutic sell system, like the detaching from the need to sell, achieving the level 5 listening. So if you can share something.
Yeah. So the first one we look at is detaching from the need to sell. And what this means is if you show up on a sales conversation and you need that sale, if you need that person to purchase, you're needy. And so that person is going to run away. So what we want to focus on is the idea that he who needs the sale the least is the one who gets the sale. And so as we look at that, even if you do need the money, even if you're desperate for the next paycheck, what you want to do is you want to show up to that call and you want to be in the mindset of service for that individual, the mindset of asking questions to lead to a particular purpose, to recognize and see what the real problem is, bridge the gap from where they think it is to where it really is, and then enroll them if it makes sense. And the second one that we look at is the art of is the level 5 listening concept. And so this concept is we're not on sales calls to talk. We're on sales calls to listen to people. And we have to learn a concept of empathetic listening. So when we look at level 5 listening, level 1 is basically ignoring people. So they're talking, I'm not listening to a thing. Level 2 is pretend listening. So you're talking, but I'm over here and I'm like on my phone, not paying attention. And I'm just saying, yeah, whatever. Not listening to anything you say. Level 3 is when we're listening, but we're only listening to respond. So think about like a political conversation. Someone says something that's against your political beliefs, and the only thing you're doing is waiting to give them a response. That's it. You don't care what they're saying. You're not listening to them. Level 4 is where we're listening, but we're still kind of in our own headspace. We're not thinking about where the other person comes from. We're not thinking about what the other person is doing. We're not thinking about the other person. We're only thinking about ourselves. Then when we move into level 5, what this is empathetic listening. So I'm asking questions to understand the specific purpose that this person has, the specific reason this person holds the beliefs they have, the reason, the situations they grew up in, and everything in between, to really recognize and understand their story and why they believe what they do. So we can speak to them in a way to where they feel like we're really actually listening to them. And then the third pillar we look at is the art of the challenging leader. So part of the sales process isn't just being nice to people the whole time. It's not agreeing with them because you just want the sale. Like, oh yeah, that makes sense, whatever, just buy. What we want to do is we want to recognize when people are uncertain, and we want to challenge them on that appropriately and from a place of love, care, and concern. So when we look at that, if someone says, well, I'm not sure if I can afford that. Oh, okay. Well, walk me through your finances. Are you open to chatting with about your finances with me? That can be one of the most stressful things imaginable. And if they say, no, I'm not open to that, well, I don't know if I could actually help you, because in order for me to really work with you and have a good relationship, we have to have hard conversations. We can't have those today. Doesn't even really make sense for us to move forward. So I want to challenge them in a way that's going to be appropriate for the situation and help them recognize that I'm here for them, both to challenge them in things that they haven't thought about or they don't want to talk about, and challenge them in the things that they're talking too much about, to say, hey, maybe the problem's over here, or maybe it's over here, to move them into a situation to where they feel like I truly care and I'm actually a leader worth following.
Understood. Got it. So, what advice do you have for the entrepreneurs who struggle with the sales but want to adopt a more compassionate approach?
Yeah, I would say just approach the conversation in the mindset that you're there to ask questions to understand where this person came from. If you recognize that this person is doing something that's preventing their success and they're not aware, help them become aware of that. So for example, if we're in the weight loss industry and someone says, I just want to lose weight, you want to ask, okay, well, what makes weight loss important to you? Oh, I want to wear a bikini on the beach. Oh, gotcha. Everyone wants to wear a bikini on the beach, but why do you think that's important? We want to dig deep into understand the real problem. We want to understand where the insecurity lies. And then when once we understand the insecurity, we can start to move to offer a solution and the solution to be customized to specifically what they need. So take the pressure off yourself of needing this whole like song and dance and sales and just ask questions to really recognize where they're at and help them feel heard.
That's lovely. Great. So you have achieved the significant success in the crypto investments. So if you could also share some of the insights or strategies for navigating the crypto market safely and also efficiently.
Yeah, so in terms of crypto, I first bought Ethereum when it was $15 a coin, and now it's somewhere around like $3,500 a coin. I bought Matic, which is another really popular coin, when it was about 10 cents, maybe less. Now it's over a dollar. I bought a lot of these things really early. I bought Solana, that's like $189 or something right now, at about $15, $20. So something that I recognize is you have to be able to understand that the crypto market's incredibly volatile. It goes on a four-year cycle. So you get about 18 months of a bull market and 2-3 years of a bear market. And I think what you want to recognize is if you invest in anything outside of like the top 10, there's a good chance you're going to lose 95% of the value in your investment. So for me, it's about establishing a portfolio that's going to last and a portfolio you can be early on and recognize the early winners like Solana, like Polygon, like Ethereum. So that way you can ride the wave up there, be insanely in profit, and then ultimately win. And I think you have to get away from the hype. A lot of the times in crypto, there's no regulation. So there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of people scamming people out there. And so I think you want to say, okay, what has survived the test of time and what is ultimately going to allow me to scale up into it? And when you look at it, it's typically like the top 10 coins. And then as you look at the top 10, or what I like to do is say, okay, well, if Solana is number 3 in the new hotness, what else is doing what Solana does it better or fixes and solves a problem? The reason I invested in Polygon, because you have Ethereum that I bought at $15 a coin, but then to use the Ethereum network, it's like $500 in gas fees. It's unusable. So I thought, okay, what solves that? Polygon, bought Polygon. Polygon solves the gas fee issue. Now I have something that scaled up to one of the top 10 coins. This year we had Optimism, which is another Ethereum scaling solution. I saw that it was partnered with Coinbase. And so I bought that at about 50 cents. Now the thing's worth like $4. So you want to look at, okay, what is a big cap project and what solves the problems? And then you can take an early investment into those things and ultimately scale up.
Lovely. That's really great. So I also wonder, like, how do you balance your roles as an entrepreneur, investor, father, jiu-jitsu practitioner? What else? How you balance it?
Yeah, good question. I think balance is an art. And I think in order to achieve true balance, you have to have lived on the edge of both realms, not doing anything and doing way too much. So with where I'm at, my day has a schedule. I organize my day into blocks, and every block, every day has red, yellow, and green tasks. So if my day has 6 blocks, it's going to be a 30-minute block. That's my day. Once the day's over, that's the end of the work day. It's done. Then I move into time with family. I put my phone away. I'm not paying attention to the work and emails and all that stuff. Then I move into jiu-jitsu, and jiu-jitsu is an hour or so. And so I'm able to organize my day in a way to where I live and die by, especially on the work side, by my calendar. I think as an entrepreneur, you can let the work side just completely consume you 14 hours a day, but then it's not worth it. Like for me, at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit on my deathbed and be like, ah, oh, gosh, I wish I would have put in more 14-hour work days. I'm going to sit there and say, you know what? I wish I would have spent more time with my daughter. She's 30 now, and I don't even know who she is. That's not the person that I want to be. The person I want to be is the one who said, okay, I didn't work. I only worked 6 to 7 hours a day, maybe. But I spent a tremendous amount of time with my daughter. I was healthy. My life was good. And everything ultimately resulted in me and the people around me being happy.
Lovely. Great. So, if you could also elaborate the 6 key pillars of your wellness that your health business focuses on.
Yeah, good question. So in terms of the 6 pillars, I've kind of organized them in order of importance, in my opinion. So number 1 is mental health. If your mental health isn't in order, nothing's going to work. Number 2 is going to be your social health, because what happens if people tell you you suck, if people tell you you're not good enough, if people don't approve of you, all this stuff that we worry about, well, then your mental health is going to suffer. So number 2, we have to focus on our social health. We have to take relationships that are positive, build more time for them, recognize the destructive relationships, remove them. And then number 3, we move into is sleep. Without sleep, nothing else can work. So without sleep, your mental health is going to suffer. Your social health is going to suffer. Then next one we look at is wealth. And wealth is probably the seventh pillar that we've recently added. But wealth is a huge problem for most people because financial health is one of the biggest stressors. If financial health isn't in order, sleep's going to suffer. Social health is going to suffer. Mental health is going to suffer. Everything's going to fall apart. And the next one we look at is nutrition. Our nutrition has to be on point in a way to where we enjoy what we eat and it doesn't become a career or a job. You shouldn't sit there and spend 40 hours a week doing meal prep. Nutrition needs to be something that's sustainable and that allows us to live a long, healthy life. Then the next one is fitness. For me, fitness isn't necessarily about being like jacked and having six-pack abs. It's about being able to build bone density so I have a high-level longevity of life so I can live a long time. And then the final one is habits. Ultimately, the things that we do every day are going to be the things that define us. And so if you build habits, those habits are going to carry you for better or for worse.
Got it. Understood. So, what other tips do you have for the individuals who are looking to improve their mental health and the overall well-being?
Good question. So one step at a time. I think if you're looking to improve your overall mental health and well-being, I would lay out these six pillars of wellness. What I typically do with clients in the beginning is we lay out what's important to us. So we say, okay, what's important? Family, health, wealth, finances, work, all this kind of stuff. And then they have to put a 1 through 10 on a level of importance. Then next to that, we say, okay, how closely are you living up to those values on a 1 through 10? Unfortunately, most people will say, wow, I'm not living up to the values that I want and I need to fix that. So then you take, okay, if family is a 10, but I'm only living up to it at a 3, that's my focus. I need to build family up. If work is what I'm doing right now at 10, but I really only want it to be a 4, well, then I need to scale that back. So I think what you need to do is just take an inventory of what's important to you and what you're doing, and then make small little micro steps in order to build and grow and scale into who you want to be.
Got it. And before we wrap up, like if you can share any personal habits or the routines that contribute to your success and the growth mindset.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is consistency and habits. So what we want to do is we want to wake up at the same time every day. We want to organize our schedule, our work schedule, into blocks. So you have 6 blocks per day that are 30 minutes apiece or something like that. And then ultimately organize your family time, everything that you organize. And a lot of people don't like the idea of being organized because they want this freedom. But the ability to create freedom is built from the structure that you create to give yourself that freedom. So you have to build structure in order to define and actually live free. And so I think you have to say, okay, here's my work blocks. Here's what my family blocks look like. Here's what my personal blocks look like. And everything's organized and you have everything put together in a way to where you can consistently follow it. This doesn't mean you need to wake up in the morning and have a 9-hour morning routine where you're taking ice baths and drinking carrot juice and all that. Just wake up at the same time every day. Eat whatever you eat every day, do your work, have your family time, go to bed. And then ultimately those habits bridge into being successful.
Wow, that's really lovely. Great. So dear listeners, in this insightful episode, we have delved into the fascinating journey of Chandler Walker, a biochemistry graduate turned successful entrepreneur, sales expert, and the crypto investor. So his unique approach to the sales, grounded in compassion and the care, offers the valuable insights for the entrepreneurs seeking to redefine their sales and the strategies. So we hope that you have gained valuable insights into rewiring your brain for the success and the growth. So stay tuned for more inspiring conversations on our podcast, Healthy Mind and Healthy Life. And until then, be happy, be healthy. Thank you so much.